You're listening to West Virginia Morning. I'm John Cantese. Senators voted on and approved a bill yesterday to increase West Virginia's tobacco tax. The bill calls for a $1 increase per pack of cigarettes, putting West Virginia at $1.55, near the national average. But the increase is more than Governor Tomlin had proposed, and he says he'll now have to balance the need for revenues with the loss of business and increased tax could mean for border counties. Ashton Maher reports.
During his State of the State address, Governor Tomlin proposed increasing the state's cigarette tax by 45 cents per pack to a total of $1. That increase, plus additional increases to the tax rates of other tobacco products and a new tax on e-cigarettes, would bring in an additional $78 million per year to help balance the state's budget. Tomlin says when proposing the tax, he was attempting to do two things.
What I tried to do was, in addition to raising some additional revenue that we could use to backfill our public employees' insurance fund, was to make sure that our businesses in West Virginia could still be competitive.
According to the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, of the five states bordering West Virginia, only Kentucky and Virginia would have a lower cigarette tax if the legislature approved the Senate version of the bill. That bill includes a $1 increase, putting West Virginia's total cigarette tax at $1.55. Tomlin says that could cause the state to miss out on some business as West Virginians cross state lines for cheaper rates.
And what you find out sometimes, if your tax gets too high, your people start going across the border, buying their tobacco products, but while they're there, they're buying groceries, gasoline, and other things. So it does have a negative effect.
Members of the Senate, however, moved forward with their proposal Tuesday, passing the amended bill on a 26-6 vote. During a floor speech, Democratic Senator Roman Prezioso, who proposed the additional increase, said the tax hike is about more than balancing the budget. It's about reducing the number of teens that begin smoking each year. Republican Senator Tom Tacubo is a pulmonary surgeon who agreed with Prezioso. According to a Gallup poll, West Virginia has the second highest rate of smokers at nearly 30%, and Tacubo would like to see that number drop.
There's very limited things you can do. The only thing statistically, other than education, is a increase in the tobacco tax.
But Tacubo says that increase has to be significant enough to convince a person to quit, which he believes is the case with the $1 hike. The Senate-approved bill is estimated to bring in about $115 million in additional revenue each year. For the 2016 and 2017 budgets, the extra dollars will help fill budget gaps largely caused by declining severance tax incomes. But in 2018, $40 million of the money will be dedicated to a surplus account in the Public Employees Health Insurance Agency. For Democratic Senator Bob Plymouth, that connection made sense.
What this bill does is takes us a step in the right direction because, quite honestly, tobacco is a major reason why our health care costs on PEI are up. So there is a direct correlation between this and what's happening with PEIA.
The 2017 budget will be the final one Governor Tomlin proposes to state lawmakers since his term will be up in December. But for him, dedicating the funding from the tobacco tax takes away some of the flexibility built into the office of the executive.
We don't want to put more money in that fund while we're really squeezing other programs. I think it's always better to have that flexibility, to have it come into general revenue and then let the governor present a budget and the legislature act upon that budget each year to put the money where the most need is.
Still, Tomlin says should the House approve the $1 tax increase, he, quote, probably could sign it. His main reason? Because the state is strapped for cash. Tomlin's other revenue-generating proposals, including a tax on cell phones and landlines, have not moved in either chamber. He says without those dollars, both the 2016 and 2017 budgets could be in trouble.
If they do not move the bills fairly quickly, we may run into even deeper cuts in this current fiscal year, because part of my plan was to get the bills passed, have them made effective by March 1st. That's quickly approaching here. That way the money can start coming in to backfill this year's budget as well as flow into what I've proposed for 17.
Lawmakers have approved some measures to aid the 2016 budget year, which ends in June, including dedicating monies from the coal and natural gas severance taxes that would pay off the state's workers' compensation debt to balancing the budget. For the 2017 fiscal year, Tomlin's budget officials are predicting lawmakers will have to fill a $46 million budget hole. The Senate bill now moves on to the House. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
The West Virginia Senate has approved a bill Monday that would allow anyone over the age of 21 in West Virginia to carry a concealed weapon without a permit. A similar bill was vetoed in 2015, but Governor Tomlin says he hasn't made a final decision about this year's legislation. As approved by the Senate, the bill removes the permitting and safety training requirements to carry a concealed weapon, and it also adds a provisional permitting process for 18 to 21-year-olds and adds felony charges for some crimes committed with a weapon. Senators made charges made changes to the bill as it worked its way through the committee process. But the House of Delegates did not take up the amended version yesterday. House Speaker Tim Armstead told members his staff was still reviewing the changes. Members of the House would have to vote on the bill one more time before sending it to Governor Tomlin's desk. Tomlin vetoed a similar bill last year and says he's not yet sure what he'll do with this year's measure.
Obviously, with what went through the Senate, law enforcement officials are still got a lot of concern about the bill as it went through there. So, you know, we'll wait and see what the House of Delegates does and what the final product is before I really make a comment on it. But I can just say that law enforcement still does have concern about the bill as it stands today.
Tomlin cited law enforcement concerns over the bill in his veto message last year. After a veto from Governor Tomlin, members of the Senate and the House have both taken up a bill that would allow West Virginians to consume raw milk. Members of the Senate passed the bill earlier this month on a vote of 22-12. And yesterday, delegates cast their final votes. Liz McCormick reports.
Senate Bill 387 would allow West Virginians to enter herd-sharing agreements or shared ownership of milk-producing animals. After filing the agreements with the State Department of Agriculture, it would then be legal for all of the owners to drink the raw milk produced by the animal. The herd-sharers would also be required to meet state and federal standards set by the state veterinarian and report any instances of illnesses. The bill would not allow the owners to sell or distribute the raw milk to anyone else. Delegate Kelly Sabonia, a Republican from Cabell County, stood in favor of the bill.
There's many products that remain legal in West Virginia that have presented true dangers. Tobacco is still legal, yet we keep talking about how dangerous it is. Artificial sweeteners, certain legal drugs are dangerous. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill has been discussed for several years. If you're against it, vote against it. But if you're for liberty and food freedom, vote for it.
Delegate Don Perdue is a Democrat from Wayne County and the former chair of the House Health Committee. He stood against the bill.
We bring this down and suggest that it's an issue of freedom. It's freedom we're talking about here. Freedom to do whatever you want. Well, folks, that means we need to get rid of all the public health laws. Smoking in buildings. We need to get rid of all of those. That's what's being said. And the troubling thing about that is, your right to be sick ends where my right to be healthy begins.
House Health Committee Chair Joe Ellington spoke in support of the bill, citing other foods like raw meats, certain vegetables, and even water that could contain harmful bacteria.
So you have to put it in perspective as far as the numbers. Yes, there are potential serious infections. Yes, people can potentially die. But as I mentioned last year, most of the things we're exposed to every day can do the same thing.
Senate Bill 387 passed 88-11 and now goes to the governor for consideration. In the governor's veto message last year, Tomlin said the bill could pose serious risk to public health, particularly in children, pregnant women, and people with compromised immune systems. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Charleston.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning at 7:53. Expect some freezing rain advisories in parts of the Potomac Highlands until about 10 a.m. this morning. And there is a flood watch in the areas in the southeast and the eastern panhandle until tomorrow morning. It's going to be breezy and a little rainy today. Possibly some thunderstorms later on. Highs will be in the 50s and in the 60s. And tonight the thunderstorms could continue with lows in the 30s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
It's been just over a week since members of the West Virginia legislature voted to override Governor Tomlin's veto of the union-opposed right-to-work measure. But even now that the bill will become law, the business community is arguing over whether the legislation will actually improve West Virginia's economy. Rob Engel spoke with two West Virginia businesses and their owners on opposing sides of the issue, one of whom has pulled his support from the Chamber of Commerce over the measure.
Where was our vote?
That's Lowell Ferguson, the president and CEO of Nitro Electric, a business that has been around for 55 years. Ferguson was a member of the Putnam County Chamber, a local chamber of commerce, until just a few weeks ago. That's when Ferguson says he pulled his membership because of the state-level support of right to work.
If the chamber is going to take a position, don't you think they ought to be asking the people who are members of the chamber what your position is? They didn't ask anybody. So if we pay dues to the local chamber, and the local chamber pays dues to the state chamber and pays dues on to the national chamber, then we're in essence funding the legislation that we disagree with.
The West Virginia Workplace Freedom Act was approved by both chambers of the legislature and sent to Governor Tomlin for a signature earlier this month. Tomlin chose to veto the bill, and a majority of the members in both the House and Senate overrode that disapproval. The bill will make West Virginia a right-to-work state. That means an employee cannot be fired for refusing to join a union or refusing to pay union dues or fees. Ferguson opposes the measure and says he's not the only business owner in West Virginia to pull out of the Chamber of Commerce because of that opposition. He estimates 20 or so businesses have already done the same.
I know that some testimony was given at the Capitol that said businesses were leaving the Chamber of Commerce. That has not been what we have experienced.
Steve Roberts is the president of the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce, the state's largest business trade organization. He disputes Ferguson's claims that the businesses are pulling their membership and that the organization didn't ask its members how they felt about the bill.
We are a member-driven organization. We do what our members say they believe is most important. And our members overwhelmingly tell us that they believe passing right to work will be good for employment, good for the economy, and help stimulate growth in West Virginia. So we simply have not. It's fine that other people want to say those things, but we're right here at the center of this, and our members overwhelmingly support the passing of right to work, and they believe it will be good for West Virginia's economy.
I'm for right to work, and what I find is when you say that, the first thing a lot of people think is, well, you're anti-union. That couldn't be anything further from the truth.
John Casey owns Casey Construction. He is one of the business owners and Chamber of Commerce members Robert spoke of.
I think that when you're chasing the American dream, you shouldn't be forced to be a member of any organization, union or otherwise, in my opinion.
And Casey, like many lawmakers, believes a right-to-work state will draw businesses to West Virginia, creating more jobs for working West Virginians. Ferguson, on the other hand, thinks that the legislation can only hurt the state's economy, making it more difficult for union shops to stay open.
The companies that try to stay here and try to be union are going to become uncompetitive. So companies like us that have been here 55 years, our choices are basically to continue the fight in the private sector until it just drowns us out, or relocate the business to another state.
Roberts and the Chamber of Commerce are standing behind the legislation and their support for it. Roberts says with the way things are going in West Virginia economically, it's time to try something new and evaluate its success.
The reason the legislature comes back every year is if they don't get it right in one year, there's an opportunity to change things in the next year. We know some people are very nervous about change and very afraid of change. We want to try a different course. We want to take a different path.
The West Virginia Workplace Freedom Act will become law in mid-May, but it may be some time before West Virginians actually know its impacts. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Rob Engel.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with all of the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. And we are interested in your comments, so make sure you send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. You can follow us on Twitter @WVPublicNews, and you can find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills, and I'm John Cantese. Have a good morning.